Welcome to Life, Lessons, and Laughter with your host, Glenn Ambrose.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Navigating Internal Conflict. This is something we've all dealt with, right? We've all had some internal conflict and it felt confusing and overwhelming. And a lot of times we talk it over and we'll get a little bit of clarity often on the intellectual side, and then we'll just kind of and then we'll drop back into how we like what decision we're going to make, like the question, you know, like which how to handle this conflict, and we'll just go, I don't know yet, you know, like, because and it's overwhelming, and we can it can be very, very confusing, which can be very, very frustrating. So, you know, this is why I kind of wanted to do this. I was talking with a client and we're kind of navigating this, and the big piece like jumped out right in front of me of like the information kind of separated in a way that it hadn't before, which led to me being able to phrase this in a different way, we'll say, or come at this issue from a different angle. So I was like, oh, I think that this could help some, help some people, probably a lot of people. So I should do a podcast. And here we are. So really, you know, the what it is when we have a life issue that comes in and we experience internal conflict around it, like we don't know which way to go, which, you know, what direction to turn, how to navigate it. What that is it's like anything else. You know, if you want to get closer to the truth, you simplify. If you want to get further from the truth, you complicate. So when something's confusing, it's often complicated. That's why it's confusing. And, you know, in a lot of circles, societal circles, that's kind of used like an excuse, or it's socially acceptable. Oh, it's just, it's very complicated. And sometimes that's followed with, you wouldn't understand, which always makes me laugh. But like, nothing is complicated. Not when you get all the way to the truth. So when it's complicated, that means that there's multiple things being blended together. And that's what complicates things. You know, it's not simplified. So, you know, this is what makes it so difficult to navigate. And there's basically three types of information sources, I'll call them. So the three types of information sources are intuition. You know, that is usually like a body feeling or a very calm, soft voice. And of course, the more we practice that, use it, and get comfortable depending on it, that's the voice we need to go to. And that's the one we can depend on. The other two voices are where things get complicated for most people. And that is, you have your intellectual side, or your reasoning, your mind thoughts, you know, where you look at things and you dissect them, often using logic, past experiences, information learned, you know, that's our brain. That's where we actually use the logical aspects of things and think things through. That's another source. And then the third source is our emotions. how we feel about something. You know, so usually, I mean, of course, if the intuition is there, well, then there's no confusion if you know how to listen to your intuition. So, you know, I'm probably not going to be talking too in-depthly about the intuition, because when you're in alignment with your intuition, when you're used to paying attention to it and familiar with how it feels when it is your intuition, as opposed to how it feels when it's not your intuition, very rarely are you going to have a problem. Very rarely are you going to feel internally conflicted. Why? Because it's your intuition. It knows the right thing to do. You know, that's basically the part of you that's in alignment or connected to divine wisdom or your higher self or God or the universe or whatever you want to call it. There is a source of intelligence that our body is connected with that we can depend on. In the meantime, we have to navigate the mental and the emotional. So this is where the confusion comes in. This is like what happens is we blend what we're thinking we should do with what we're feeling we should do. Okay. And that's very often that's going to cause conflict, you know, because the more emotion you have around a subject, emotion clouds our vision. It's, you know, our emotion serves a purpose. It's there to basically kind of send up a red flag and say, hey, this is important. That's what our emotion's job is basically to do, because we're exposed through our sensory organs to, you know, 30,000 bits or whatever the number is of information per second. So like, you know, for us walking through life, if there was nothing to let us know to like, hey, wait a minute, this is important, you should probably pay attention to this. If there was no guidance system like that, we probably wouldn't know the difference between the color of the pitcher being blue and a relationship ending. Like we probably wouldn't know that they'd all be on the same, intellectually, they'd all be on the same level, which is, that's not how we're made. This is an experiential reality. We're made to feel things and to experience them tactically within ourselves. Those emotions, you know, really are kind of the spice of life, you know. Like, I mean, it's okay that we feel sad sometimes, you know, that's, we're supposed to. When we resist it and use it to torture ourselves, not so good. But when we experience sadness and we go, wow, you know, I really cared about this person, they're not in my life anymore, I feel sad. And it takes us a little time to navigate that. And then like we have a tendency to hold those relationships dear. You know, we're like, wow, this is an important thing. Relationships are important. How do we know that? Because they generate emotion. Yeah, right. Like you don't have the same emotion around which pencil you're going to use as you do which person you're going to have in your life. Right. That's because of the difference of importance. That's because of your emotions come in. Emotions don't come in on pencils. They come in on people. Right. So it's kind of a tool to get us to slow down and pay attention to something that's more important. But the problem is that many people use their emotions to make decisions. They're horrible decision makers. Our emotions are not there to make decisions. That's why they are so bad at it. because we're not supposed to be using our emotions to make decisions. That's why we have a brain. We have different parts of it. Like that's like expecting your heart to breathe for you. It just doesn't make any sense. That's why you have lungs. Lungs are made to breathe. So they do a pretty darn good job at it usually. You know, a heart is made to pump blood. Okay, it does a good job at that. If you try to have them do the opposite job, they don't do well, right? It's the same thing with your emotions and your brain. Your brain is there. It's a tool to use to intellectualize, to think through, to come to conclusions, to come to decisions. Your emotions are there just to capture your attention and actually cloud your vision. Why? Because you're not supposed to be immersed in them. We're not supposed to be immersed in them anyway, like most people do. Most people completely immerse themselves within their emotions. So their emotions are completely clouding everything. And they're laying there in just sheer agony. And then they think that that's life. It's like, no, that you don't have to do that. You don't have to allow your, you don't have to dive into the cesspool of feeling. All you have to do is capture the attention, let it capture your attention and be like, hey, wait, this is important. And you can allow that, most of that energy to pass. Now, most of us have stored emotion. Like most situations, you know, I'm not talking about death or even the end of a relationship, but like just most little situations, like getting cut off in traffic, that's about 90 seconds worth of energy. If we just, and I've done this many times, when a situation arises that maybe startles me or, you know, so it brings up fear because I got cut off in traffic or something. And then as soon as I get through and everything's okay, I just take a deep breath and allow myself to feel. I'll put my attention on my body and allow the fear to be felt. And after, usually it's not even 90 seconds, like, I don't know, 30 seconds, maybe 45 seconds, I can feel that energy just dissipate and then it's gone. And I know I haven't stuffed that energy. Most people don't allow themselves to feel energy, so they're just constantly stuffing it. You know, 90 seconds here, 45 seconds there, whatever. So it builds up. So we do have built up energy, emotional energy, trapped within us. Most people do. So this isn't so like, going into a childhood trauma and feeling for 90 seconds and expecting it to be gone. Well, that's not how energy works. It's not any amount of energy in 90 seconds. It's most incidents generate, most minor incidents, just day-to-day stuff generates a maximum of 90, I would say a maximum of 90 seconds worth of energy, which is emotional energy, which if you allow yourself to feel it, it will complete its job. Its job is to be felt. Once it's felt, it will transmute into a different form of energy and it will leave you and you will not be stuffing it, you know? So that's just kind of how energy works, emotional energy works. So when we're caught up in a relationship or something, obviously there's more than 90 seconds worth of energy around this. There's more, right? So we a lot of people will lean into this emotion. Oh, I don't know what to do. And they'll literally like feel into their body, into their emotional body and be like, oh, I feel like my heart's being ripped apart. It's like, yeah, because you kind of are ripping it apart. Like, why are you doing that? We do that because we don't know any better, right? So my point here is what we need to do is understand the emotions are not for decision-making. So we can't blend them into our decision-making and then wonder why we're having a difficult time making a decision, right? Especially around emotional topics. So we'll see how the podcast goes, but I think I'll use relationships as the example that I'm using to explain how this works. You can take these and you can bring it into other emotional experiences, loss of a loved one, sometimes the loss of a job, friendships, any, you can use it, and the dynamic doesn't change, right? So you can use it in any situation where you're feeling emotion. Just pay attention to the dynamics, not the fact that I'm using a relationship as an example. So if you're using a relationship with an example, and let's say you're going through a difficult time and you talk it out and you intellectualize it, and you use your logical mind and you go, oh, wow, you know, like, this doesn't seem like it's working. Like, when I use my logical mind, it's just, I'm not coming up with a good reason of what is working, right? Like, sometimes when we're using our logical mind, we're looking at something, we're like, yeah, it's just, this doesn't seem to be working, and I can't see how it is working. So we'll experience that. And then what, so that's the intellectual mind, right? And then we'll go, okay, so what should I do? And we'll lean back and we'll bring in the emotion, because that's kind of where we were before we started using our intellect. We were conflicted with our mental and emotional. So if you're conflicted with your mental and emotional, you use your mental for a while, and then all of a sudden you go back to where you were and you go back into the emotional and mental aspects where you have both of them. And then you get really confused again. You're like, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure. And that's when you brought in the feeling, the emotion of the relationship. Like, you know, I'm talking about a relationship where you care about the other person. That's why it's triggering so much emotion, is you care about them. So like, people figure out in their brain, like, oh, this relationship isn't working. Let's just say this particular relationship needs to end, okay? Not all relationships need to end just because you're having some difficulty figuring out, you know, what the problem is or how to solve it. But let's just say this one needs to end for the sake of the example. So you're like, oh, okay, well, you know, that this, you know, I can't see how this is going to work. I think it's pretty obvious it's not going to work and it needs to end. Okay, that's the reality of this situation. You bring that in. And then all of a sudden you drop back to the emotion to try to look at the big picture. Okay, now I'm going to make my decision. So we bring the emotion back in and we go, hey, emotion. It's kind of like we do this, but we do it unconsciously. We go, hey, emotion, we've decided that we're probably going to end the relationship. That's what seems to make the most logical sense. Faith, come on, girl. Come on. Good girl. Sorry about that, people. I hope I didn't yell too loud. The dog was stuck out in the rain. I needed to call her in. She didn't know I was in here. Good girl. So we bring in the emotional piece, and that's what messes everything up, because we go intellectually, we're like, oh, this relationship needs to end. And we go, hey, is that okay, emotions? And the emotion goes, no, I don't feel comfortable with that. Of course you don't feel comfortable with it. You're an emotion that cares about this person. So of course like, are you guys getting this? Of course the emotion is going to say, no, I don't want to end it. Of course, that's an emotional decision. You care about this person. Of course you don't want to end it emotionally. You care about them. Why would you want to end something that you care about on an emotional level? You wouldn't. You wouldn't want to end something that with somebody that you care about on an emotional level. But on an our emotions are not there to make decisions. That's not their job. So do you see how off that is? This is why people feel conflicted a lot of times, is because they're blending their intellectual with their emotional, and then they're wondering why they can't make a decision. Because intellectually, it seems obvious. It's like, oh, okay, this needs to end. Then they bring in the emotion and go, yeah, but it doesn't feel right. Of course it doesn't feel right. You care about them. Why would leaving somebody that you care about feel right emotionally. It wouldn't. You're going like, if you're in a relationship and you realize that it's no good for you and you leave it, you're still going to go through, if you cared about that person, you're still going to go through what I'll call like a grieving session or a grieving period. There's going to be a part of you that is going to grieve the relationship. And it just depends on how close and how long the relationship was. If it was short, it's going to be a short period. You know, you might not even notice it. I mean, if you went out on a date with somebody a couple times, then you probably wouldn't be so conflicted because you wouldn't have so much emotion, right? So, but I'm talking about if you've been with somebody for a period of time and you've developed some deep feelings, even if you know what you're doing is the right thing to do, you're still going to go through a grieving process. It's still going to feel difficult emotionally separating from somebody that you cared about. That's just what it feels like when you do that. That's normal, right? So this is how people stay conflicted, you know, and they can do it like, you can do it with anything. Like, let's say it's leaving a job. So intellectually you go through everything, right? And you go, oh, this is why I should leave my job. This is what I should do. And and then you go and you job search and you have another job offer. You know, sometimes you don't even get that far because of what I'm about to say, but let's just say you did, you have another job offer, but it's maybe a little further away. You're not sure about it. It's a risk, right? Whenever you change jobs, there's some level of risk involved because it's going from the known to the unknown. This is what strikes up people's fear. So you have intellectually, you know, you should leave your job. Emotionally, you bring that intellectual information over to your emotions and you go, hey, I think we're going to leave the job. And your emotion goes, that's fear. Oh no, leave our job. That's scary. I don't know if I want to do that. What if something isn't so good at the new job? What if you don't like the boss? What if you don't like the people you work with? What if it's the same thing as your old job, only worse? What if it's the same thing as your old job and all you did was change locations and it's the same? So you didn't really get much benefit out of it. All the emotion comes up. Fear, 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 fear. So this is how people stay stuck. This is why I called the podcast Internal Conflict, because you can use it for anything. If you take your mind and come to an intellectual decision and then go over to your emotions and say, hey, emotions, I was thinking about doing this. What's your take on it? Your emotions are not going to be helpful. They are going to be detrimental to making your decisions. Why? Because they are not there to make decisions. It's not their job. They are not logical. As a matter of fact, when you get caught up in your emotions and the fear starts arising, oh no. Like what that does is fear triggers stress responses in the body. So it literally takes the blood from the brain and pushes it to the major muscle groups in case of fight or flight. Your body responds the same way to fear and stress. It doesn't matter where it's coming from. So it literally shuts down your brain so it can't think. So when you're caught up in your emotions, your brain literally, scientifically, cannot think clearly, as clearly. Why? Because you're not supposed to be thinking. You're supposed to be reacting if you're in a stressful situation. This is why our emotions are not an asset when it comes to decision-making. You know, so when I'm looking at big decisions, like I use my brain, I use my intellect. And I mean, quite honestly, now, you know, as time goes on, I use my intuition more and more and more and more and more. So, I mean, most of my decisions are basically made by my intuition, but there are logical aspects to things. I do need to engage my brain. Just to look at the brass tacks of it all, you know, just to look at it realistically. And I'm a human being. I'm on planet Earth. I need to use my brain sometimes, you know, just to look at things and go, let's just use the switching job as an example. Like, let's say I'm looking at one job and I go, geez, this other job really seems like it's going to be better on all kinds of levels. I think I should probably go take that other job. And then I check in with my emotions and I say, emotions, you don't have a part here. I'm not interested in what you have to say. This is a logical, you know, this is, I'm thinking that this job looks good. Now I need to use my brain and say, okay, well, what does this job pay? Oh, well, this job pays 50% less than your other job. Oh, well, okay, I need to take that into consideration, brain. Can I pay my bills making 50% less money? No, Glenn, you can't. It's literally impossible. Oh, okay. So I either have to not take this job or I need to find a way to supplement my income if I think it's going to be that much better. Yes. Okay. See, that's using your intellectual brain and logic to come to rational conclusions and decisions. That's a good thing. So, you know, that's what our brain is for. We can use it, you know, for figuring out things like that. Even if I get an intuitive hit, I can still engage my brain to figure out the details of the change I'm about to make. You know, I mean, I did that when I decided to move over to the Dominican Republic. It's like, okay, I'm going to move. Okay, brain, you know, the intuition told me moving to the DR is the right move. Okay, cool. Decisions made. Now what do I need to do to bring this to fruition? Oh, well, you need to check with your son first and figure out if he's going to be okay. Then after that, you have to figure out what you're going to do with your apartment, your belongings, your car, you know, where you're going to live over there, you know, and so you use your brain for all that. But do you notice I didn't bring in any emotion? So the only place something like emotion has a place in decision making, and I it's not even really emotion, quite honestly. I would say more specifically, it's something similar to emotions called preferences. If I'm going to be really specific, I would say it's more like a preference than it is an emotion. So you can bring your preferences in, just preferences that have nothing to do with logic. You can bring those in sometimes to decision-making capabilities, which to me is, I find it kind of cool. I like this because it feels like freedom to me. And my father explained this to me many years ago. So how my father explained to make decisions is, he says, you do your research. He's a researcher. I'm a researcher. My son, not so much, but he's got a real strong intuitive sign. So at least 90% of the time, he just knows first, right off the bat, what's best for him. So most of the time he can just intuitively hit everything right first time. I research more. My father researches. So like my father said, do your research, you know, do your due diligence, look into, like, if you have a choice between two things, I call it gathering information, gather your information. So as you're gathering information on these two sides, often what happens is either one side gets really high with probability, like, and the other side does not. So it becomes very clear logically what you should do. And if that happens, then do that. Why? Because it makes sense. You just logically showed a bunch of reasons why this is a good idea. And by proxy, the other side doesn't have all those things. So it's probably a bad idea. Well, then your decision is made. It's pretty clear. Go with the decision that has all the upside, not with the one that has all the downside. But another thing can happen when you're gathering information, and that is you can gather information, and as you gather the information, basically both sides come out equal with pros and cons. So like basically sometimes it's dead even. It's just like no matter which side you pick, there's positives and negatives to either side. So it's 50-50. And then sometimes it's 55-45, maybe even 60-40, maybe. And my father says, when it gets to there, then just bring in your preferences, bring in your emotions. I call them preferences, and do whatever you feel like, do whatever you want, do whatever your preferences. Why? Because 60-40 is close. It's close enough to whatever drawbacks you need to experience, if you do experience them. Because remember, you don't know what's going to happen in the future. You might pick the one that looked 40% good on the surface, as opposed to the one that looks 60% good. And it might be the right choice. And it, you know, maybe you just looked at the wrong information. You can prove anything through research, especially if you want something. So research isn't always unbiased or perfect, you know? So sometimes the 40% choice was actually the right one and it goes way better than you thought. So that's cool. Or even if you were supposed to take the 60% one, the drawbacks are only about 20%. It's not, the drawbacks aren't that big. You know, like it's just, you're just like a 20% drawback is more of an inconvenience than it is a life disruptor. Now, if you do research and you've got an 80%, you know, it looks like 80% that one decision is good and a 20% chance that the other one is good, then like if you choose the wrong one, you're going to be dealing with 60% negativity. That's life affecting. Like that could mess up your life for a while. That could be a bad thing. That's more than an inconvenience. But just a little 20% tweak, that's more like an inconvenience in life. It's not that big of a deal. You can probably live with it, you know? And you got to do what you wanted. You got to experience a little freedom. You said, what the heck, man? The drawback isn't much. I'm just going to do whatever I want. I'm gonna do this one just because I like it more. I'm gonna, you know, so cool, you know, and it's fun to do stuff like that. And like I said, the drawbacks are minimal. So cool. So that is a place where you can kind of bring in preferences when you're doing your decision making, you know. But 95% of the process is intellectual. It's gathering information. It's doing your research, weighing the odds, okay, which one's better? Which one has more positive benefits? Which one? And then if you bring in preferences at the end, when it's really close, cool. You know, take a chance, do something you want. So that's the only time you can, you know, in my opinion, you know, that's where you can bring in something that isn't straight logic or intellect. You know, it's kind of like an emotion. It's preferences. So you can kind of bring that in every once in a while towards the end. But it's not, but you can't lean on it to make your decision. You can't sit there and go like, well, my preference is door B, and door A from an intellectual perspective is the overwhelmingly obvious choice, which would benefit my life, but I'm going to dismiss all that and go with my preference over here. That's foolishness. You know, it's just, if you're basically at a tie or close to a tie and you want to just push it one way or another, because it doesn't really matter. Sure. Throw in a preference, right? So this is what I want to explain. We cannot bring emotion into our decision-making. It's not a sandwich. It's not a sandwich of intellect and emotion. That's where we sit in confusion, where our intellect and our emotion are enmeshed together. And then we feel conflicted. well, I think I should do this, and this seems to be the right thing. Yeah, probably. I think I should. Okay, well, so should I just go do that? And then the emotions rush in. I go, no, that doesn't. Yeah, but you love him. You love her. You're going to miss them. Oh, but, you know. And then you're like, oh, yeah, now I don't know. I kind of thought I should do this, and I really feel like I should. You shouldn't feel you should do something. Like I said, I'm not discussing intuition that much. Often intuition is more of a feeling or a soft, calm whisper or voice, you know, depending on the person. But like, you know, we can't confuse emotion with intuition just because some people use the word feeling to describe them both in different situations. They're not the same. Your emotions are not your intuition. Your intuition makes perfect decisions. Your emotions make horrible decisions and should not be part of the decision-making process. So hopefully that clarifies it. Keep, you know, understand what each thing's job is. What is your emotion's job? It's to capture your attention. So you know things are important. It's to feel things like love and all this stuff. Our emotions are a gift. They're wonderful. They're probably the thing that might make life worth living, maybe, you know. I'm not diving into this and saying that this is an absolute truth, but there's emotions are a big deal. They're a wonderful part of us, but they're not for making decisions, you know, just like I was saying before, my heart is a wonderful part of me, but if I'm trying to breathe with it, it's not going to work. My emotions are a beautiful part of me, but if I'm using them to make decisions, it's not going to work. So lean on your mind and your intellect to rationalize and look at things clearly. Keep your feet on the ground and use that to make your decisions. And then when you look at your emotions, you can be like, listen, you know, I understand that this is going to be hard. We're going to feel sad for a while. It's okay, but it's foolishness to stay in this because we've looked at it. We used our brain, the thing that's supposed to make decisions. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why we shouldn't be in this. So we need to get out and we'll work through the emotions of that change as we go, but it's going to be okay. You know, but you don't bring them into the party to ask what their opinion is. So this is where the inner conflict comes from. This is how we can navigate it. And I think that's it. Hopefully that's helpful for you guys. So that's gonna wrap it up. I think I'm just gonna end here. So you guys have a great day, and I'll talk with you soon. Peace.